Good morning, dear friends. It's 8 minutes after the hour. I have on the studio line Sam Rohr. He's the president of the American Pastors Network and Pennsylvania Pastors Network. And last night's GOP debate, we're still talking about that, brought up a lot of main issues that the American people are very concerned about. And some of these pressing issues, you know, are matters that, you know, we need to maybe encourage our pastors and churches to discuss openly with us. Sam, welcome to the show.
Yeah, Bill, it's great to be with you today. Always is.
Thank you so much. Why do you believe that some pastors, you know, are shying away from conversations about these tough topics that are going on in society?
Well, Bill, there's a couple of reasons. One is that generally speaking, the pulpits of America, because of seminary training, because of fear, inordinate fear of losing tax-exempt status, fear of controversy when they enter into these kind of areas. There's about five reasons why pastors do not preach about matters of the day, things that they would hear on the radio, which many inappropriately refer to as political, and therefore it's off limits. That range of thinking is an unbiblical way of thinking. It's not true at all, but there are reasons for it. But as a result, pastors have not been used to speaking or, frankly, even applying biblical principles across the spectrum to the issues of the day.
Mm-hmm.
When we consider that even a small percentage of the pulpits of America even preached a sermon on marriage, which is about as biblical as you're going to get,
mm-hmm.
or life, which we're just finishing up this month, where we're celebrating the importance of life and in the sin of abortion, hardly any touch on that either. So it's not a wonder then if they don't go into the area of talking about biblical qualifications for a candidate for office, or God's design for civil government, or the purpose for civil government, or the role of the church vis-a-vis the civil government. All of these things, which are so critical, they don't go any of those directions simply because they're not even, in many cases, wanting to deal with the most fundamental moral issues. And so those things are all wrapped together, but you are correct. This is a critical year, and the truth of God's word must be laid down and applied not just to the issues that are facing our nation, but also facing Christians in general and citizens across the board, and even how to evaluate a candidate. How do mm-hmm. we even know who is qualified, not qualified? And so anyways, I'll just stop right there, but these are things that if they're not dealt with from the pulpit, there is no other source of truth that are coming out on these issues, so it's got to come from the pulpit.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said that so well, but I'm a fan, and that when I go to church, I just want to hear the gospel declared. I want to hear the word of God preached. So when some of these things creep in, I don't necessarily like it, but I want to know, how do pastors lead dialogues about these very significant issues with their congregations? Because maybe I'm asking the same question all over again, but I'm a very slow guy, so... Maybe,
Well, you're not. And I think what you said there is really anyone who's listening to this program would identify, I think, to what you're saying, and pastors listening would also say what is normally done is, and the justification from many in the pulpit, I would say most in the pulpit, is that they believe that their primary obligation in the pulpit is to preach the gospel. Well, that is. That is a primary purpose of the church and of Christianity, is to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. But unfortunately, that's where they stop oftentimes. And the reason that is not right is because the Great Commission command is not just to go share the gospel, but it is to make disciples. Now, this is where the practical application comes in. The making of the disciples from the standpoint of the role or the goal or the duty of anybody in a position of teaching authority, and that would be starting with the pastor, is to say that these babies, that when they come to Christ and are born again, they are babes in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If we only leave them as babies, they will be consumed by the wolves in the sheep, mm-hmm. in the street. They will not ever mature to be a soldier of Jesus Christ, which is what we're called. They will not be able to articulate what the Bible says and about how to live as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Those are adult roles. Those mm. are positions that we are called to be. If we are left only with the milk of the word and the gospel of the good news, we may feel good about ourselves, but we will perish, and we will not bring change the culture or bring other people to Christ where it really makes a difference. So the key is discipleship, and the pastor's understanding that the obligation is to take these babes to a point of mature adulthood where they know how to wield the shield of faith and the sword of the truth, the word of God's word, and go forward, which is exactly what the church is supposed to do, go forward into the culture, into this world, and that means being salt, and that means being light. The attaching of these things is what ought to be done, and if it's not done, then how, I mean, this is God's model. So that's how I would share that with you. The simplicity is that we're not babes. We are disciples. We're soldiers. We're ambassadors. We have a big job to do, and we cannot do it unless we're equipped. And so as the Pastors Network, we're saying, pastors, yes, get people saved. Bring them to the point of the good news, but then we've got to bear down on helping them to stand in the gap for truth, and that means knowing what to say, how to live, how to move forward, how to use the tools, the armor of God that God gives us. If that's where we've got to go, or we absolutely, absolutely will see our culture and our nation fall into total judgment, and we will lose our nation simply because God's people are not doing what they've got to do according to God's plan.
Mm-hmm. Sam Rohr, that makes me want to stand up and cheer what you just said. But we're going to take a little break, and we come back. I've got a specific question I'm going to ask you to almost pretend like, all right, I'm in church. Here's the subject matter. How would you deal with it? This is going to be interesting in my head. Everything's interesting in my head. So anyway, we'll take a short break and be right back. It's 15 minutes after the hour. Thanks for being with Faith Radio Mornings. Minutes after the hour, welcome. I'm talking to Sam Rohr. He's the president of the American Pastors Network, and we're talking about discipleship. And I've got a question for you, Sam, because what you said was so right on, that we have to disciple people. They're just babes when they become new believers, and they need discipleship. So let's take an issue that a pastor may have to address with something like the medical progress videos that were exposed. All of a sudden now, the reporters or the people that did the investigation are the ones that are being brought up on charges. And of course, the Planned Parenthood that were harvesting or and selling organs are being let off the hook temporarily. And some of this news against pro-lifers, how do we make sure our nation, how do we talk to our congregants about this? And how does, we don't want to ignore the darkness of abortion, of course. How do we equip people to think biblically?
Well, boy, we could spend a long time on that, but I would go down on a couple of issues here. I think every example that comes up is a teaching opportunity. And from standpoint of teaching or as a pastor instructing my flock, we should be taking these things which are before us and saying, all right, now how does Scripture come to bear on this? What's a biblical worldview as applied? What can we learn? Should we learn from this? This is where I would go on this issue here. Number one, here it is. You had two individuals who stepped up and attempted to be salt and light,
mm-hmm.
by wanting to shine the light of truth, biblical truth, into an area that was obviously evil, but hidden. Well, now, was that a good thing to do? Well, matter of fact, we should all be about wanting to expose evil. Well, part of our responsibility as salt and light is part of the reason for salt is to stop corruption, right? Well, the practical application is should we be thinking generally in terms of exposing evil where it is? Answer is yes. Now, that's the way they chose to do it in that area, which was particularly important. Now, another lesson is sometimes it always doesn't work out. Here it is. They did the right thing. They tried to expose, and they did, and for the benefit of the entire country, helped to elevate the awareness of the atrocities that have been committed in Planned Parenthood. And it's obviously been a subject of national and congressional debate, as appropriately it should. So now, in this case here, you have a function of civil government. You have a grand jury actually step up And rather than supporting and doing that which was really right from the standpoint of indicting Planned Parenthood for their testimony, their actual testimony of dealing with baby parts and all of the horrendous things associated with that, they actually take and indict those who were trying to expose it. Now, what's the lesson there? The lesson there, I would go to the issue of justice. What is the purpose of civil government? Well, the purpose of civil government, including the court or the grand jury, according to Romans 13, is to praise those who do well, excuse me, and to punish those who do evil. Well, what did that court do? That court didn't praise those who do well. They punished those who do well. And they didn't punish those who do evil, Planned Parenthood. They actually praised them by letting them off the hook. Now, that's where our people should be understanding. So whether it is grand jury or whether it's a congressional action, or whether it's a president that takes and subverts and supports a same-sex marriage or a whole host of things that is clearly unbiblical, these are things where civil government is falling down in its role to support justice defined biblically. So should we as Christians be concerned about that? Well, you better believe mm-hmm. we should be sure, because God says he will judge the nations that turns justice into injustice, that praises those who do well and punishes those, and does the other way around, declares good to be evil and evil to be good. These are things that unless the Word of God and pastors in the pulpit teach their people so they know how to understand it, they will buy the line or they will not know how to go about changing it. Now, bearing that right down into that comes down even into the presidential. We're talking about electing congressional and senators and state house people and a president this year. This is the big year. Well, how do we look at these candidates? The reason we should be knowing about how there are problems, distortions, injustice in the roles of civil government, which biblical Bible defines what they should be, and this one here would be a matter of injustice that was done. How do we correct that? Well, you correct it by with our option here of being able to put people in office, vote for them. We've got to start talking about putting people in office who meet biblical qualifications. Mm-hmm. And that is all about what the Bible says. Are we talking about looking at people like David, where God looked at David when he chose him to lead Israel? Or are we looking at the candidates like Israel looked at Saul? And I'm saying the pastor of the pulpit is the only one that can reintroduce biblical truth and values and a biblical worldview into this whole broad discussion, and it's just as real as can be, because if the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. If the evil bear rule, the people mourn. Well, what is that? A righteous person is one who has a fear of God and who has a relationship with the Lord and understands what a biblical worldview is. But do we talk about it? If we don't engage from the pulpit as Christian people and understand these things, we are going to get exactly what we've gotten, and we deserve it if mm-hmm. that's what we know, if that's all we do. So mm-hmm. I could keep going, but that was a very, very good question. The applications are just ripe across the board as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. Sam, as we've talked and listened to each presidential hopeful, and they bring up their position on certain hot-button issues, and we all as Christians kind of know what they are. How do we, as the body of Christ, how do we stand together to support the candidates who will defend the faith and biblical truth? Because we're so, it seems that even Christians are fairly polarized amongst each other as when it comes to the political process.
Well, they are. I mean, yesterday on one of the radio programs we have, we went down through what one political writer out there divided the evangelical camp into seven different categories.
Oh, wow.
The old guard, the institutional guard, the millennial, the cultural Christian, and really defined them pretty well, and actually put names on them, because there are evangelical leaders out there who are completely down across the board. Some are way out there for Trump, some are out there for Cruz, some are out there for Rubio, some haven't made their minds up yet. And I went down through that list, and I'm saying, the one category of evangelical that's not even listed is what I would term the biblical evangelical. We have religious leaders across this country who are making pragmatic decisions and choices based on who they think can win, rather than saying who is the one that measures up to having someone having a heart like a David, a heart after God. Which one fears God? Which one has the marks of integrity and character? Rather than going down that way, and I'm saying we've got to start thinking from God's perspective, and let God determine what He is going to do. rather than using the tools of this world, pragmatism, political correctness. I think this guy can win because I feel good about it, or I think this one can win because I feel good about it. It doesn't make a difference what I think. We ought to be thinking, what does God say about the measurement of the man?
Mm-hmm.
And that's got to come from the pulpit. And if we did that, then we could agree. But if we don't agree, really, that the Bible even tells us that we should be speaking about the matters of life, I guess we probably won't agree on the presidential. But our perspective is we can, we should, the Bible lays it out. And when we do what it says, there will be, there may not be unity, but the division will be a biblical division, not unbiblical division.
Mm-hmm. Sam Rohr, I so appreciate your passion and your clear thinking on this. You can learn more about that at theamericanpastorsnetwork.net. Thanks very much. Have a great weekend, Sam.
Thanks so much. Great to be with you.
God bless. Thanks. 26 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break and be right back.